Right now your Wi-Fi router is, it's probably connecting you to this massive network of like over 10,000 satellites orbiting the Earth.
Right.
But what if that exact same infrastructure, you know, the one beaming Netflix to your living room, is actually secretly operating a classified 11 millisecond planetary command grid for the military?
It's a heavy thought.
It really is. So welcome to today's custom deep dive. We are unpacking just a massive, incredibly dense stack of sources today.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot.
Seriously, we're specifically looking at the June 15th, 2026 edition of the Great Awakening Report's Awakening the Sleeping Giant Weekly Report.
Yeah, and there's a ton of ground to cover.
Totally. We're pulling directly from their signals, patterns, and threads section. And our mission today for you listening is to connect these dots that seem, completely unrelated at first glance.
Right, because they really do seem disconnected.
Yeah, like we're looking at geopolitical choke points, suppressed ancient technology, the biology of the Amazon rainforest, and even the hidden architecture of the financial system.
But, before we jump into all those threads, we really need to offer a sort of compass for you, the listener, before we enter this whole forest of information.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because looking at a stack of data, this expansive, covering, global conflict and systemic control, it can very easily trigger a sense of panic or overwhelm.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is not the goal here at all. This deep dive is fundamentally about pattern recognition. We are here to act as impartial observers, just applying discernment and critical thinking to these sources.
Right.
The objective is clarity, right? Not sensationalism, not fear.
Exactly. So let's start with the macro layer of that pattern, because to understand, anything else in the current world, we really have to look at how global stability is functioning, or I guess struggling to function.
Yeah, struggling is definitely the word.
Right. So the report highlights a primary system signal that they call strategic compression. And what I gathered from this is that the system isn't necessarily breaking, but it feels like this aging plumbing system.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, like the water is still flowing through your house, but you suddenly need, I don't know, five more plumbers, endless rolls of duct tape, and just piles of cash just to keep the pipes from bursting under the pressure.
Yeah, I actually want to build on that plumbing analogy because it illustrates the mechanism perfectly.
Oh, go for it.
So think about the maritime insurance industry as your plumbers and your duct tape, right? Take the Strait of Hormuz.
Okay, the oil choke point.
Exactly. It is the most critical oil transit choke point in the entire world. And technically, right now, it is operational. Like you said, the water is flowing.
Right.
But maintaining that continuity now requires active naval escorts, 24/7 satellite surveillance, and just skyrocketing insurance premiums for these cargo ships.
Jeez.
Yeah, uninterrupted flow is no longer just a default assumption. It's a status that has to be actively purchased and honestly, heavily armed.
Wow. And we're seeing that same shift in the energy markets too, right?
Yes, exactly. They are no longer pricing oil based on production capacity, which means, how much actually exists in the ground.
Right, the actual supply.
Right. Instead, they're pricing it based on delivery reliability. Like, can it actually get through these highly compressed, contested transit systems?
So if the pressure is compounding in places like Hormuz, where does the breaking point actually happen? Like, are the sources looking at a full-blown conflict scenario?
Well, they approach it more through probabilistic pathways. They outline three specific scenarios for the U.S.-Iran framework right now.
Okay, what are they?
So they give a 40% probability to what they call fragile de-escalation, meaning a temporary stabilization holds, but it's incredibly vulnerable to sudden political shifts.
Right, one wrong move and it shatters.
Exactly. Then there's an equal 40% chance of a diplomatic breakdown, which would lead to renewed regional escalation, probably sparked by proxy groups or internal resistance.
And the last 20%.
The remaining 20% is what they call a messy maritime reopening. In that scenario, even if they strike a diplomatic deal overnight, the logistical friction, like the massive backlog of vessels and delayed insurance contracts, it keeps the supply chain impaired for weeks anyway.
Which, brings up a very interesting section in the report's editor's note regarding what they call the Trump enigma.
Ah, yes. the name of that.
Yeah. The sources detail reports of President Trump allegedly ending a 100-day war with Iran behind the scenes alongside his executive orders regarding UAP declassification.
Right.
Now, real quick, to be explicitly clear to you listening, we are just impartially observing these developments.
Yes, very important point.
Exactly. The takeaway here isn't about taking a political side at all. It's about looking at the current information battlefield. Because it is fragmented and it's completely saturated with competing narratives.
Completely saturated.
The sources are basically using this to show how difficult it is to separate emotional narratives from actual operational shifts.
And, you know, managing those operational shifts on a global scale requires serious infrastructure.
Right.
This geopolitical fragility we just outlined, it's directly tied to how power and wealth are structurally maintained behind the scenes. The stress on the system is basically forcing the hidden architecture of control to become visible.
I am so glad you brought up that hidden architecture because I honestly do not understand the space and tech contracts mentioned in the sources.
The Starfield stuff?
Yes. They highlight this staggering $6.4 billion in Space Force contracts awarded to SpaceX in like 48 hours for something called Starshield.
Yeah, it's a massive number.
It is. And Starlink is marketed to the public as just internet for remote farms and RVs. So why is the Space Force suddenly handing them billions of dollars for farmer Wi-Fi?
Because you're only looking at the public-facing partition of the technology.
Okay, what's the other side?
What the sources reveal is a dual-use partition architecture. Starlink and Starshield share the exact same physical infrastructure up in low Earth orbit.
Oh, wait, really? The same satellite?
The exact same ones. But they operate on entirely different encryption networks. One partition serves civilian internet, right? You're watching Netflix.
Yeah.
The other partition serves classified government payloads. It creates a command network where every single node on Earth is reachable simultaneously within 11 milliseconds.
11 milliseconds? That's instant.
It is. When you look at it through that lens, SpaceX isn't just an internet provider anymore. It's the activation of a planetary command grid.
Wow. And that concept of a hidden structural advantage extends straight into the financial system, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we're always taught that the stock market is this place to build wealth based on, you know, the actual value of companies. But the sources frame it as a literal wealth extraction machine, heavily driven by high-frequency trading.
Yeah, high-frequency trading, or HFT.
Yeah.
The mechanism behind that is crucial to understand if you want to see the pattern.
Break it down for us.
Okay, imagine you're waiting in line to buy a concert ticket for $50. Just as you hand over your money, a robot cuts in front of you, buys the ticket, and instantly turns around and sells it to you for $50.01.
Wait, so they just jumped the line?
Exactly. It happens so fast you don't even realize you were intercepted. That is called front running.
Wow.
HFT algorithms execute trades in nanoseconds. They can literally see retail trades coming through the digital pipeline, buy the asset milliseconds ahead of the public, and sell it back to them at a microfractionally higher price.
That is wild.
And the sources argue that when you scale this up, market crashes are not natural economic accidents at all. They are scheduled harvests.
Scheduled harvests? That's a terrifying phrase.
Right. Artificial inflation draws retail money in. Insiders pull their capital out early. The market collapses. The public panic sells at a loss. And then the insiders buy the assets back at a massive discount.
So the wealth doesn't just evaporate.
No, it never evaporates. It transfers upward.
That makes total sense when you look at the historical context the report provides, because they pull us all the way back to the year 1871 and the incorporation of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's a deep rabbit hole.
Seriously, I had to read this twice. The sources claim this was an administrative move that quietly shifted the republic into a corporate governance structure governed by admiralty law.
Yes.
But, I mean, how does an entire country's legal framework just quietly shift like that?
Well, it has to do with jurisdiction and these things called legal fictions. Under common law, you are a living sovereign person.
Okay.
But admiralty law, which is also known as maritime law, is the law of the sea. It governs commerce, ships, international trade.
Right. Stuff on the water.
Exactly.
Huh.
But the sources suggest that the 1871 Act basically brought the law of the sea onto the land to manage the massive debt of the Civil War. It created a corporate shell of the government.
Wait, so what does that make the citizens?
Well, the legal system began treating citizens not as living individuals, but as legal entities or corporate fictions. You essentially become a vessel engaged in commerce, which allows you to be used as collateral for the nation's debt.
Okay, so We basically have an infrastructure of control over our geopolitics, our technology, our finances, and even our legal standing.
It's comprehensive, yeah.
But the sources argue that this systemic extraction doesn't just stop at abstract concepts, right? It extends directly into the biological systems that keep us alive.
Yes, specifically our food.
Right. I mean, even mainstream news is warning about a global food crisis now, citing fertilizer shortages, those shipping closures we talked about in Hormuz, and a super El Nino threatening global crop yields.
Right, but those are just the logistical threats to the food supply.
Yeah.
Within the food supply that does exist, the sources point to an engineered cycle of sickness.
The Monsanto stuff.
Yeah. The report outlines the business model of Bayer and Monsanto. Monsanto produces the pesticide glyphosate, which is sprayed on roughly 80% of conventional crops.
80%. That's almost everything.
It is. And sustained exposure to glyphosate fundamentally disrupts the human microbiome. It essentially acts as an antibiotic right in your gut, destroying the beneficial bacteria you need to digest food and regulate your immune system.
Which leads to all that chronic inflammation and severe autoimmune responses we see everywhere now.
Exactly. And then the parent company, Bayer, is a pharmaceutical giant that just happens to manufacture the medications to treat those exact autoimmune and inflammatory diseases.
That is insane. It creates a perfectly closed loop business model.
A perfect loop. One branch of the corporation creates the patient by degrading the food supply, and the other branch manages the patient's symptoms.
Managing, right, not curing.
Right. Neither side is designed to cure anything. But the cycle generates just massive perpetual revenue.
Okay, let's take that a step further, because the section on raw milk completely blew my mind.
Oh, this is fascinating.
Right, because we are universally told that raw milk is dangerous, that it has to be pasteurized to kill deadly bacteria. But the sources suggest it was actually targeted because its natural healing properties disrupt that exact pharmaceutical dependency loop we just talked about.
Yeah, and the science they point to here is really interesting, because humans consumed raw milk safely for thousands of years.
Right, obviously.
The issue is that the pasteurization process, heating the milk to those high temperatures, it doesn't just kill harmful bacteria. It completely destroys over 60 functional, highly beneficial enzymes.
Like what?
Well, for instance, it destroys a compound called lactoferrin. Lactoferrin is incredibly potent. It binds to iron in a way that literally starves cancer cells and pathogens of the iron they need to replicate.
Wow. And heating the milk just wipes it out.
Completely. Pasteurization also destroys the immunoglobulins that naturally program a child's developing immune system.
So they're basically stripping the medicine out of the food.
That's what the sources argue. By mandating the destruction of these compounds, you are structurally crippling the population nutritionally, and they link that directly to the explosion of asthma, allergies, and immune deficiencies we see today.
And you know, this environmental engineering isn't even a new concept. The sources take us deep into the Amazon rainforest.
Oh, the Terra Preta.
Yeah, because I grew up learning the Amazon was this pristine, untouched, virgin wilderness, you know, the lungs of the earth.
We all do.
But the report says that is a complete myth.
It is. The Amazon is actually a 2.7 million square mile engineered food forest.
Engineered, like planted.
Yes. Soil scientists have found vast tracts of something called terra preta, which translates to black earth.
Okay.
See, rainforest soil is actually naturally very acidic. It's really poor for farming because the heavy rains just wash all the nutrients away.
Right. That makes sense.
But terra preta is this highly fertile, carbon-rich soil matrix. It contains biochar and ancient pottery shards. Basically, charcoal created by burning organic matter at really low temperatures without oxygen. It acts like a microscopic sponge. Its tiny pores hold water, nutrients, and beneficial microorganisms, stopping them from washing away.
So it makes the soil self-regenerating.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this could only have been created by deliberate, highly advanced human engineering over thousands of years.
By a civilization of, what, an estimated 10 to 20 million people that was essentially erased from history.
Yeah, erased.
And now the tragedy is that this ancient engineered soil, the terra preta, is being physically mined and exported by modern corporations for profit, while biotech firms literally patent the genetic diversity of the specific trees those ancient people planted.
Which really brings us to a critical transition in the sources.
Right. How do they hide all this?
Exactly. If the architects of the Amazon were erased and their technology commodified, how does an establishment keep this much control over human innovation and history?
By controlling the timeline of what we are allowed to know. And the sources link this directly to the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370.
Yeah, this part was chilling.
Because it isn't framed as a tragic crash, but as a targeted acquisition. The report points out that 20 employees of Freescale Semiconductor were on that flight.
And they weren't just low-level employees, right?
No, they were the key holders of a revolutionary pending patent. And when they disappeared, the rights to that patent automatically consolidated to the sole surviving holder.
Which was Freescale.
Exactly, Freescale, which was owned by the Carlyle Group. And you add to that the reports of passenger phones pinging cell towers days after the disappearance, with one message allegedly tracing back to the U.S. military base on Diego Garcia.
The implication being that disruptive innovation is heavily, heavily policed.
Heavily. And that policing extends far into the past, too. Look at the suppression of ancient history outlined in the report, like the Second Sphinx.
Oh, the ground-penetrating radar data.
Yes. In 1996, 2000, and again in 2017, radar confirmed a massive structure buried 40 feet under the sand, just 200 meters east of the existing Sphinx.
And it aligns perfectly with the ancient text, right?
It does. The texts describe the Acre twin lions facing opposite directions, which supposedly guarded the entrance to the fabled Hall of Records. Yet, despite conclusive radar data, the Egyptian antiquities authorities have denied excavation permits for 30 years.
Incredible.
And we can't talk about suppressed truth without talking about UAPs.
Definitely.
And for anyone listening who is unfamiliar with the acronym, that stands for Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena. It's basically the modern military term for UFOs.
Right.
So the sources highlight the June 14th declassification of 162 UAP documents by the Pentagon, paired with the ongoing testimonies of whistleblowers like David Grush regarding non-human intelligence. But what's wild is how the sources contrast this real bureaucratic disclosure with Hollywood narratives.
The narrative management is incredibly transparent once you see it.
How so?
Well, the sources point to projects like the Steven Spielberg film Disclosure Day. They promote this idea that the existence of alien life will completely shatter global religious faith.
Right, the whole society will collapse angle.
Exactly. Mm. But the report pushes back on this hard. Because ancient texts, including the Bible, the Vedas, Sumerian tablets, they have consistently acknowledged the presence of non-human intelligence.
Oh, sure. Angels, watchers.
Whether categorized as angels, watchers, or fallen entities, it's always been there. So the framing in the report is that this current wave of UAP news isn't disclosure designed to gently prepare the public.
Then what is it?
It's a prosecution timeline. Yeah. It is the legal unschooling of individuals and black budget agencies that illegally hid breakthrough technologies and silenced witnesses for 80 years.
Wow. So if we are dealing with multiple historical intelligences, it forces the question. Where do humans fit into all this?
That is the million-dollar question.
And the sources point to biological anomalies in our blood types as a massive clue to human origins, specifically the Rh negative factor.
This is one of the most fascinating biological mysteries out there.
Explain it for us.
Okay, roughly 85% of the human population carries the rhesus protein, which is a genetic marker shared by all primates.
Right, the Rh positive.
Right. But 15% of humans are Rh negative. They simply lack this ancestral primate protein.
Okay, so where does the friction happen?
The biological friction occurs during pregnancy. If an Rh negative mother carries an Rh positive baby, her immune system doesn't recognize the rhesus protein.
Oh, wow.
Her body literally produces antibodies that attack the fetus, treating it like a foreign pathogen or an incompatible organism.
And the sources emphasize that no natural species on Earth rejects its own offspring.
Exactly.
They argue this anomaly suggests multiple origin programs, indicating different genetic lineages that were artificially introduced and were just, well, never biologically meant to combine.
And if we accept that ancient civilizations were highly advanced and possibly engineered, we have to look at what they valued above all else.
Which was gold.
Gold. But the sources present a radically different reason for this obsession. They didn't value gold as currency.
Okay.
They valued it because, in its monatomic state, gold acts as a biological superconductor.
Wait, explain the mechanics of that, because the idea of gold as a superconductor for human consciousness sounds like pure science fiction at first glance.
I know, it really does. But it comes down to bioelectricity. The human nervous system operates on electrical impulses. Normally, any electrical circuit has resistance.
Right, you lose energy along the wire.
Exactly. But monoatomic gold, meaning gold broken down into a single atom state rather than a metal lattice, theoretically loses its electrical resistance entirely.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah. The premise is that if you ingest or interface with a superconductor, you remove the resistance in your body's biological circuit, amplifying your bioelectric field by incredible margins.
And the sources claim this is why the Ark of the Covenant was built the way it was.
Exactly. When you look at the biblical instructions for the Ark, it wasn't just a decorative religious box. It was constructed as a functional capacitor.
The capacitor?
Yeah. You had two conductive surfaces made of pure gold, separated by a dielectric insulator, which was the acacia wood. It was designed to store a massive electrical charge and amplify the bioelectric field of the high priest, who actually knew how to interface with it safely.
I am just, I'm obsessed with the idea that our bodies and environments are essentially bioelectric networks.
It changes everything.
It really does. And the sources connect this directly to the biology of trees, what they call the wood wide web. Like, old growth forests serve as the nodes of a massive planetary fungal network.
Yeah, the scientific term for that is the mycorrhizal network. Beneath the soil, fungi connect the root systems of the trees.
Right.
But what is crucial here is that the signals passing between trees aren't just slow chemical drips. They are rapid electrical impulses, moving at speeds comparable to the animal nervous system.
That's incredible.
And furthermore, these old-growth forests generate localized electromagnetic frequencies. The human brain also operates on electromagnetic frequencies.
Right, brainwaves.
So when you walk into a deep forest and suddenly feel grounded or recalibrated, it isn't just a psychological trick. Your neural patterns are physically entraining or syncing up with the electrical output of the forest.
But the sources deliver this devastating statistic. 97% of old-growth forests worldwide have been cut down.
97%?
Yeah. By clear-cutting the earth, we haven't just lost lumber. We've systematically dismantled a planetary communication system, disconnecting humanity from a stabilizing frequency, and basically leaving us isolated in these electromagnetically dead cities.
It completely reframes environmentalism, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's not just about saving trees. It's about preserving the bioelectric grid of the entire planet.
Okay, let's take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Because we have covered the compression of the global geopolitical system, the hidden partition of our technology, the scheduled harvesting of our finances, the deliberate degradation of our food and microbiomes, the suppression of our history, and the disruption of our planet's bioelectric grid.
It is a lot.
Hearing all of this at once is incredibly heavy. How is a listener supposed to process this reality without just, you know, completely shutting down?
Well, that is precisely why the report frames the Great Awakening not as just an information dump, but as a psychological and spiritual stress test.
A stress test?
Yes. It is designed to strip away illusions, and that process is inherently uncomfortable. Resilience in this context doesn't mean becoming highly agitated and trying to fight every system at once.
What does it mean, then?
It means rooting down. It means self-regulating. You have to integrate this truth slowly and honor the limits of your own nervous system.
That's really good advice.
If you feel disoriented or exhausted by the news, recognize that it isn't a personal failure. It's a natural biological response to a system under immense synchronized compression.
And the sources point out that our nervous systems are under literal interference, too. What's wild is that they cite actual 1972 CIA documents from Project Scangate.
Oh, the REM sleep experiments.
Yeah. The agency was exploring how human consciousness enters a highly receptive state during REM sleep, specifically within the delta frequency range of 1 to 4 hertz.
Right.
This is when the brain is supposed to be able to act like an antenna, receiving information and processing deep intuition. But the sources claim a 4.2 hertz frequency has been continuously broadcast through the global power grid for decades.
And the mechanism there is jamming. If your brain is trying to tune into a clear signal between 1 and 4 hertz, broadcasting a localized hum at 4.2 hertz acts as electromagnetic static.
So it just blocks the signal.
It intercepts the natural transmission, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why human dreams have become so notoriously fragmented, chaotic, or just immediately forgotten upon waking.
Wow.
However, the report indicates that this grid architecture is currently being modified. The jamming interference is lifting.
Which means?
As a result, people globally are reporting a sudden return of incredibly vivid, coherent, and memorable dreams. The natural receiver channel is reopening.
That is so cool. Hey, I want to mention quickly that if you are listening to this and you want to explore these massive interwoven threads further, but you want to do it at your own pace so you don't get completely overwhelmed, I highly recommend checking out the Sleeping Giant audio reviews.
Oh, absolutely.
It is a fantastic way for subscribers to engage with this massive weekly report in a highly digestible, really thoughtful format.
It's an excellent resource for maintaining perspective. Because your job right now is not to panic, and it's certainly not to single-handedly fix the entire global structure.
Right.
Your job is to stay informed, to stand firm, and to maintain your own coherence while the outdated systems around you destabilize.
So just to quickly recap the journey we've taken through the sources today, we examined the extreme compression straining our global supply chains, the dual-use technological grids orbiting above us.
Right.
We traced how legal and financial systems were designed to extract wealth and how the suppression of natural medicine and engineered soils keeps us dependent.
The whole loop.
Yeah.
We looked at the true scope of human innovation being hidden in the sands of Egypt and classified patents, the biological anomalies in our very blood, and the bioelectric power of human consciousness that connects us to the forests.
And the closing message from the week's report is centered entirely on grounding.
Yes.
Practice severe discernment with the information you consume. Exercise deep patience with yourself and others. You're observing a legacy system under incredible strain.
Exactly.
Do not let fear dictate your response. Be the steady signal in the noise.
Beautifully said. But before we sign off, I want to leave you with one final mind-bending concept from the sources to just mull over tonight.
Well, the mirrors.
Yes, mirrors. We are taught they are just simple objects made of glass and silver backing. But almost every ancient culture had strict rituals about covering their mirrors at night or immediately covering them when someone in the house died.
Which is such a specific universal habit.
Right. Why did they all do it? Well, because neurologically and energetically, a mirror doesn't just bounce light back at you. It creates a spatial void that doesn't physically exist, and your consciousness naturally extends into it.
That's wild.
And this isn't just ancient superstition, by the way. In quantum physics, there's something called the Casimir effect. It proves that the empty vacuum of space between two uncharged facing mirrors isn't actually empty. The mirrors generate measurable energy from the vacuum fluctuations between them.
So space is never truly empty.
Exactly. So the next time you turn off the lights and look into the mirror in your bedroom, ask yourself, what space are you really looking into?